You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to a Tuesday edition of Locked On Warriors. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Bay Area News Group. Opening up a mailbag today, I've got questions about Andrew Wiggins' next step, James Wiseman's development, and if Steph Curry will sign an extension. But first, let's get to our five-star review questions. Again, thanks to everyone who sent questions in for this mailbag. And remember, the only way to guarantee your question is answered is to leave it in a five-star review on Apple Podcasts. This question comes from Rick Beeman, who writes in, "It looks like Minnesota is gifting us with the worst record in basketball, putting the Warriors at a 60% chance of retaining the Minnesota pick. Should Minnesota retain the pick, however, how valuable of a trade chip will that 2022 unprotected pick be? You figure that with one of the top three picks and presumably a healthy Karl Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Edwards, the Timberwolves might not be as awful as they are now. What are your thoughts?" This is the sort of calculus I think the Warriors need to be considering when deciding what it is that they want to do with this top three protected pick coming over from the Timberwolves. So to catch anybody up who's not aware, the Timberwolves owe the Warriors their top three protected pick in 2021, which is supposed to be a loaded draft class in 2021. But if that pick falls inside the top three, and right now the Timberwolves have the worst record in basketball, but that still provides a 60% chance that that pick falls to either four or five. It cannot fall beyond number five right now. As long as they have the worst record in basketball, if they have the second worst record in basketball, it can't fall below beyond six, and et cetera. But if that pick ends up in the top three, the Timberwolves will keep it, and then the Warriors would get that pick unprotected in 2022 instead. So I do think that the Timberwolves being as bad as they are right now, no matter what, regardless of if you're trying to predict whether that falls in the top three or if it becomes unprotected in 2022, how bad Minnesota is right now, and then the dysfunction that is happening with that organization. They fired Ryan Saunders in the middle of the year, all these things. That helps the value of this pick for the Warriors tremendously, because not only does it have a great chance of conveying this year, 60% chance is really good, all things considered, but the fact that it is unprotected in 2022, if that pick doesn't convey, I mean, unprotected picks are just not moved anymore. They are not traded in today's NBA. So if you're able to get that worst case scenario, then that's still of a great value in a potential trade. And I would consider trading this pick very strongly if I were the Warriors. Look, we're already seeing how tricky it can be to develop James Wiseman while also trying to make the playoffs. It's hard. Right? This balance of, do we start James Wiseman because we want him to get as much playing time with Steph and Draymond as possible? Or do we start Kevon Looney because the starting unit is better that way? And where can we find minutes with Wiseman, even though we have to figure we're going to lose those minutes? And that's not a knock on Wiseman. That's just that's the way things usually go with 19-year-old rookies. Can you really now do that with two players? I know Wiseman will be in his second season, but it takes centers a while. Right, we don't know when it is that he is going to come out the other side of this learning curve and be a positive, a player who can make a positive impact consistently on the floor, let alone in a playoff situation. So you want to do that not with one, but two rookies next year, two high-level rookies. This is not drafting Eric Paschal in the second round. And if it works out great. This is a top pick who you have to get on the floor. How many minutes can you really afford to give Wiseman and another high-end rookie in order for them to develop so that they don't end up being busts while also trying to compete and make the playoffs, when also considering that Klay Thompson will be back from his injury and you're going to need to find minutes for him too? That's going to be really tough. And you've got one, to me, I think you've already got your swing for the fences. You've already got your swing for the fences in James Wiseman. The fact that this pick is top three protected from Minnesota, so you're not going to get Cade Cunningham, right? You're probably not going to end up with an Evan Mobley or a Jonathan Kaminsky. These guys who seem to be breaking away as separating themselves as the clear top three with tremendous upside. I don't think you're going to get one of them because they're going to go in the top three. I think a guy like Jalen Suggs makes a lot of sense for the Warriors. I think he would be helpful for the Warriors. He would be the guy I would take if I were the Warriors right now. And I haven't done a ton of scouting, but from everything that I heard and everything that everybody that I talk to that does more of this work than I do and has done it so far, Jalen Suggs sounds like the best fit for the Warriors and maybe not so much a learning curve. Maybe could be that rare rookie who can contribute right away, but it's still not a given. And you've already got your swing for the fences prospect in James Wiseman, the guy who could potentially be the future face of the franchise. I would be looking to trade this pick very seriously if I were the Warriors. You don't know what Klay is going to look like coming back from this Achilles tear. Draymond Green continues to age even though he's playing well. Steph Curry needs help. Can't do it all by himself. And so I don't know that Bradley Beal is going to be on the market. It sounds like he really wants to try to win in Washington. By the way, the Wizards are playing pretty well right now. So all of this is very much dependent on who it is that becomes available, right? You're not going to just trade this pick just to trade it. But we know in the NBA, players become available all the time. Now, I said this last year, I wouldn't be trading a top pick like this for a guy like Marcus Smart. That doesn't do it for me. That's not enough. That is not enough. But he would have to be better. It would have to be an all-star caliber player. All-star caliber player. Now, who is that? Is it a Zach LaVine type? A Julius Randle type? Somebody like that who, not quite, you know, elite player, not quite Bradley Beal level player, but certainly all-star. Certainly somebody who can help you. Nikola Vucevic, Miles Turner, Zach LaVine, Julius Randle. I mean, these are the kind of players that I'm talking about. Not Marcus Smart, who probably won't ever make an all-star team, and maybe not quite Bradley Beal, because we don't know if that player is available. Obviously, if that player becomes available, you push all your chips in and try to go get that player. So we'll see. But if I'm the Warriors, I would think very strongly. I would question very seriously whether or not this team, after this James Wiseman experience, and we're only half a season through, so they're going to know more, and they are learning how difficult it is to integrate a rookie of Wiseman's caliber. As promising as he is, he demands playing time, and so often when he is on the court, he has a negative impact because he is still learning the game. Can you really do that now with two players? The Warriors had never experienced this before Wiseman. They are experiencing it now. And I would bet that after this experience, which has overall been a positive experience, but a challenging one, it may dissuade them from doing it again next year when they really believe that they can go after a championship. I've got another question about a potential trade with the New Orleans Pelicans coming up. But first, let's talk about Theragun. Don't let the stress of daily life weigh on your body. Whether you're an elite athlete or someone like me, just trying to make it through the day tension-free, Theragun can help. Theragun is the handheld percussive therapy device that releases your deepest muscle tension using a scientifically calibrated combo of depth, speed, and power, and it's as quiet as an electric toothbrush. The Gen 4 Theragun doesn't just feel good, it gets to the source of the pain by releasing tension using Theragun's signature percussive therapy, which goes 60% deeper than vibration alone. Whether you want to treat your muscle tension from working out, an injury that, or just the stresses of everyday life, there's no substitute for the Theragun Gen 4. The OLED screen and design makes you feel like you're holding something from the future. Just go to their site and check it out. And the Theragun app learns from your behaviors and suggests guided routines for you. Theragun is trusted by 250 professional sports teams like Real Madrid and elite athletes like Paul George, DeAndre Hopkins, Maria Sharapova, hundreds of thousands of customers, and me. So try Theragun for 30 days, starting at only $199. Go to Theragun.com/LockedOnNBA right now and get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's Theragun.com/LockedOn. Theragun.com/LockedOn. Let's also talk about Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of vehicle makes and models, it can be impossible to stock all of the parts you need for your car, especially now, while you might not be able to visit a traditional store. So do it easily online at RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all of the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low without the markup that you find at chain stores and car dealerships. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, then write "locked on" in their how did you hear about us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts a breakdown of the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. This question comes from Steph MVP. Again, a five-star review question. Leave a five-star review and your question in that review on Apple Podcasts to guarantee your question is answered. Steph MVP writes in, I've been dwelling on this scenario for a minute now. There's been rumors that Zion and Brandon Ingram's potential long-term fit will not work. Lots of that stemming from the fact that the offense runs better through Zion and that the defensive fit between the two is not good. If Brandon Ingram were made available, do you think that is somebody that Golden State should pursue? Wiggins has been great, but I feel that we need another legit bucket getter next to Steph who can handle the ball well. He fits positionally, and I feel that Golden State is known best for bringing the best out of young 20-year-olds who are sort of undervalued. Also, what would that trade package look like? Side note, I feel that Wiseman would fit great next to Zion, age-wise and positionally. This is a good question, and kind of gets to what I was talking about before. If the Pelicans were to make Brandon Ingram available, and I have heard the concerns, I'm less convinced that the Pelicans would be willing to move on from Brandon Ingram for very much, if anything. I mean, he is a year removed from being an all-star, most improved player in the league. His scoring is so rare. What he's able to do as far as getting buckets is such a unique skill set, such a valuable skill set, especially when you get into the playoffs. I think you ultimately just try to make it work between him and Zion Williamson. That said, there are defensive concerns that I have. The Pelicans are very bad defensively, and they were supposed to be a good defensive team. Stan Van Gundy's teams tend to be good defensive teams, and so that leads me to believe that this might be a personnel issue in New Orleans. Zion is the biggest culprit, but his conditioning is improving, and as that improves, you would imagine that the defense overall will improve. And so you still, if you're the Pelicans, want to give this more time, much more time, I would say. That said, I don't know. What if Brandon Ingram says, you know what, I want to be the main guy, get me out of here, and starts causing trouble? I have no inclination that he is that kind of person or would do that sort of thing, but just for the sake of this hypothetical. Or maybe David Griffin says, you know what, Zion's so good right now, we can make a couple of moves and become contenders tomorrow in the Western Conference. Maybe that's a decision he makes and makes Brandon Ingram available for the right package. I don't know what the Pelicans would be looking for. There are rumors lately that they are seeking mostly draft capital. And so I don't think it would be a one-for-one trade for the Warriors. I think it would probably be something that involves New Orleans' picks, maybe something that the Warriors send to New Orleans, and then New Orleans takes all of these assets and bundles them together for another all-star, for a clear upgrade over Brandon Ingram. So maybe the Warriors could get Ingram in a three-way trade, because otherwise I don't really see how it works. Unless the Warriors are willing to throw Klay Thompson at New Orleans, and I'm not even sure the Pelicans would do that, because we don't know what Klay Thompson is going to look like, and I don't think the Warriors would do that. I don't think the Warriors would do that at all because of Klay Thompson's two-way potential. Again, we'll see what it looks like coming back from the Achilles. You could trade James Wiseman there, the Minnesota pick, but I don't know that that makes New Orleans better. I don't know that the Pelicans value James Wiseman all that much. I think the fit could be good. I just don't know what their impressions of James Wiseman are. They already have Jackson Hayes there. They already have Steven Adams there. I don't know if they want to add to a loaded front court with a guy who may or may not be an ideal fit with Williamson and who right now doesn't really help them defensively in the case of Wiseman, because he is so much still on that learning curve. So maybe you're able to move Wiseman and the Minnesota pick, and then they're able to turn those to the Wizards, for example, if Bradley Beal were to become available, and then they throw in their other first-rounders that they got from the Anthony Davis trade, and then all of a sudden they have the best package, not even close, for a guy like Bradley Beal. Beal goes to New Orleans. Brandon Ingram goes to the Warriors. Now, I still don't know how it would work. You'd probably have to try to find another place for Andrew Wiggins. Maybe Wiggins is involved in that deal somehow. I don't know. For now, I wouldn't be counting on a Brandon Ingram trade. Number one, because I don't think New Orleans is willing to give up on that pairing because of its upside. And number two, because I just don't think that the Warriors have what it is that the Pelicans would be looking for. Moving on to Nip Cromwell's question, who writes in, how can the Dubs get more offensive production from Andrew Wiggins? Do they need to run more plays for him? Or is this all they can reasonably expect from him on that end of the floor while he's exerting so much energy on defense? It's a good question. I think that they need to try to get more from Wiggins. And Wiggins is not the kind of guy who wants to go and force his own shot. He's going to hover around 17 or 18 points as long as he's playing this role for the Warriors. And I think that'll be the case next year when Klay Thompson returns, just because those points will be easier to get. And I would imagine those efficiency numbers getting even higher than his career highs right now next season. But I would like to see Wiggins getting a little bit more involved on the offense, especially on nights where Steph Curry needs more help, and maybe Draymond Green's age is showing a little bit more than in other games. So, for example, now that he's part of the second unit, as long with the starters, he's going to cut off the ball. It's not going to be called plays for him, and it shouldn't be. Every once in a while, the Warriors will call like a nice little post up for him, and I like when they do that. They do that once or twice a game. I would like to see them use Wiggins more in high pick and roll now that Wiggins is part of that second unit that comes in the second and fourth quarters for the start of the second and fourth quarters. We saw a little bit of that early in the season when Steve Kerr had to simplify the offense, and we just saw high pick and roll with Wiggins and Steph and everybody. And they've gotten away from it as more of these guys have gotten comfortable in Kerr's, you know, motion offense, and the offense is certainly better now than it was earlier in the year. But in that second unit that's been struggling, we keep talking about, what do you do with Brad Wanamaker? Should you, Eric Paschal, James Wiseman, like, what do you do with that front court pairing, all this stuff? I think a very simple solution would just be let Andrew Wiggins run the show. Set high pick and rolls with Wiseman or Paschal. Let the other one space the floor, get down in the dunker spot, and let Wiggins go to work. I think that second unit would really benefit from Wiggins just running the offense, high pick and roll, getting downhill, using his strengths. And that would help him, I think, get out of this little shooting slump that he was in February. It would help him find some rhythm, and that would hopefully translate to making shots alongside the starters. Nico writes in, what should the Warriors do with the Eric Paschal conundrum? He's talented, but there's just not a fit for him on this roster. Paschal is a clunky fit in lineups because he's not a floor spacer. He's not a very good one-on-one defender, and not very good at recognizing things that are happening behind him sometimes. He can get beat for backdoor cuts and things like that. He's a terrific isolation scorer, really good at getting downhill, and he's helpful in small lineups when he's playing the five, right? Because he could space the floor, and you put him in space, and he can dribble four or five times and put his shoulder down and get to the basket and draw fouls and get rebounds and those sort of things. But it is a clunky fit in most lineups. And I remember talking to Bob Myers before the season about Paschal, and he said that Paschal could be one of their five best guys if that three-point shot comes along. And the three-point shot is better. He's shooting it at a better percent, 32-33% this year versus 28% last year, but he's doing it at much less volume. He's only averaging a little bit more than one three-pointer a game. And so you'd like to see that number go up. Now, part of that is because he's mostly playing small ball five, and he's not really stretching the floor all that often. I do wonder if we will see, now that he's playing with Wiseman in that second unit, he's playing more of a traditional power forward, if we'll see him more in the corners trying to take more threes. I think that the Warriors are that's something to monitor in the second half of the season, is how much will Eric Paschal develop that perimeter jumper and lean into it a little bit more. And that would tremendously help them cobble some better lineups together, because the second unit with with Paschal the five just isn't really working. And that's why we've seen them change it recently. So, as far as what they need to do with Eric Paschal, to me, this was the big question regarding Paschal this season, was if he can play make, if he can space the floor a little bit, all of a sudden he becomes a really good fit for this team. If he can't do those things, then he might just be a microwave scorer, a bucket getter off the bench. And that's the difference between, you know, the sixth or seventh guy, eighth guy, you know, and maybe a ninth, 10th, 11th guy on the roster who is more of a break glass in case of emergency type option. We'll see. We know that the Warriors will experiment. Coming up, what is the plan for James Wiseman's development in the second half of the season? But first, let's talk about betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers award shows, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time, updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up today. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, but only when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Jalen Suggs. How much do you really know about these potential NBA stars of tomorrow? If you want to know more, you need to subscribe to the Locked On NBA Draft podcast, prospect scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and full coverage of March Madness 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Subscribe today and follow Locked On NBA Draft. Our next questions come from Dwight, who writes in, James Wiseman's second half growth plan for maximum impact come the playoffs. Not really a question, Dwight, but I appreciate it. Look, I think with Wiseman, the main thing you want to see from him, and I know a lot of people talk about the three-point shooting, the ball handling, the playmaking, all that stuff is very exciting. It's very good. But when we talk about Wiseman, what you're really looking at is consistency on defense and just playing that rim-running role well on offense. We'll start there with the offense. With Wiseman, so much of things is timing, specifically when it comes to setting screens for Steph Curry, for being in the right place in that dunker spot for Draymond Green to maybe throw up lobs to him, and he could score that way. And I think we're seeing him get better throughout the season. Now, missing almost 3 weeks, that was a tough break for his development. But he's looked, I've been encouraged by the way he's looked since returning these last few games. And so in the second half, you're gonna focus on that, keep getting him to play physical, not settle for mid-range jumpers, turnaround jumpers. You want him to really commit to getting to the basket. You want to work on those hands as they've been doing, right? They have a lot of drills where they throw, you know, medicine balls and things like that at James Wiseman during practices so that he can keep working on those hands, keep working on the physicality of the game. They will continue to drill that sort of thing. And then, of course, just simple pick and roll stuff, setting screens, timing, all that stuff is going to come with practice and time, the timing stuff. But, again, you want to show him film when he's settling for these mid-range jumpers, these fadeaways, these turnaround things. It's exciting. It's good every once in a while, but it should be a last resort. You shouldn't be doing it with, you know, significant time left on the shot clock, and you should not be doing it when there may be an opportunity to get to the basket instead of settling for that sort of shot. Defensively, it's all about just being in the right place at the right time, efficient movements, not reaching, not leaving your feet on pump fakes and things like that. And that is, again, it's something that they are working on. It's going to take time. That's really it. There's no, I don't think, magic formula when it comes to James Wiseman. He just needs playing time on the court. You have seen them now settle maybe onto a rotation here where he comes in midway through the first quarter and then leaves midway through the second quarter. And that is to make sure that he gets plenty of time to really develop, that he is playing 10 to 12 straight minutes where he can really learn, where he's not, you know, digging a hole in that starting lineup to begin games, but he's also getting on the floor for meaningful portions of the game. I think we could see that continue with the Warriors. He's, in the second half of the season, but it's something to monitor. How does that second unit look with Wiseman at the five and Pascal at the four surrounded by shooters? They need to get something out of that second unit. They need to get something out of that second unit if Wiseman's going to be able to continue to be a part of it going forward. So for Wiseman, just playing time on the court, hopefully no more injury snags, and just continuing to practice that timing and things like that. Jeremy writes in, can you foresee any situation in which Steph Curry does not sign an extension? No, I really can't. Look, the Warriors are going to give him the max extension whenever it is that he asks them for it. He didn't take a three-year, $155.7 million extension in December. It was available to him. He didn't ask for it. The Warriors didn't give it to him. That's because this next summer, this year, He is eligible for a four-year, $215.3 million extension. That would take him to the age 38 season. And it's the most money. It's a ton of money. It's the most money over the most amount of years for Steph. That is probably why he just didn't pick up the extension this December, and will probably take it this year. You get the longer term deal. You get more money. It was just a no brainer. Steph has always said at every opportunity that he wants to be a Warrior for the rest of his career. I have gotten no impressions that this season is going poorly enough for him to change his mind on that, right? Klay Thompson will come back next year, and he's looking forward to playing with Klay. I think the Warriors are going to make the playoffs this year, and so that's a lot to be encouraged about if you're Steph, right? I'm sure you like where the direction of this franchise is going. There's no reason to leave. And even if you did, where are you going to go? That's better right now than Golden State. So I have no real concerns, and people I talk to in the Warriors have no real concerns that Steph won't sign the extension this summer. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, and say nice things about the show. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to me at WGoldberg@BayAreaNewsGroup.com. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. I'll see you here tomorrow morning.